Welcome to the Trucking Market Update on the State of Freight podcast brought to you by FTR, where we share timely transportation intelligence with you on a weekly basis. The Trucking Market Update is hosted by FTR's Vice President of Trucking, Avery Weiss. As Avery presents the information in the podcast, you can follow along and review the graphs and indicators by downloading the PDF or PowerPoint of the presentation from our podcast landing page. A link to the PDF and PowerPoint is available now at www.ftrintel.com/podcast. From there, you can also find past episodes and downloads for the Trucking Market Update, as well as the weekly Rail Market Update with Todd Tronowski and much more. That link again is www.ftrintel.com/podcast.
Welcome to FTR's weekly Trucking Market Update. I'm Avery Weiss, Vice President of Trucking. This is episode 204 for the week of March 13th, 2023. Before we start, a reminder that you can download a PDF with graphics related to this discussion at www.ftrintel.com/podcast. Let's start with a look at a development in Washington. Legislation was introduced in both the House and the Senate last week to repeal the 12% federal excise tax, or FET, on heavy trucks and trailers. Now, before you get all excited, this bill has been introduced for several Congresses and never goes anywhere. But with the interest among Republicans in cutting taxes and the interest among Democrats in encouraging electric vehicles, there's at least a hook on this effort that has, I would argue, at least a fighting chance. One of the selling points for the legislation, which is billed as the, quote, Modern, Clean, and Safe Trucks Acts of 2023, end quote, is that the FET disproportionately affects electric and alternative fueled trucks that have a higher upfront cost. Of course, the repeal would not be limited to those vehicles, which is why there is broad industry support for it. But that is one of the arguments that's being made. Another thing I wanted to mention before we get to the data is a rather obscure, but I think notable change in enforcement policy by the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration. Now, prior to a guidance document released last week, if a driver was ticketed for driving under the influence of controlled substances or alcohol in a commercial motor vehicle, that citation alone constituted actual knowledge of use of controlled substances, and the driver would be barred from driving until he or she completed a return to duty process. Now, that is still the policy, but there is a new wrinkle here, and that is that a driver who has a non-conviction for the offense can return to duty without having to go through that process, and carriers can hire that driver without being cited for using a driver who is disqualified. Now, there is an important caveat here. A non-conviction means that a charge is dismissed or that the driver is found not guilty. A driver who pleads to a lesser offense, say reckless driving, does not qualify for that relief. Anyway, if you want more details, you can go to www.fmcsa.dot.gov/guidance. I don't typically get into issues like this in the podcast, but this is a situation where FMCSA isn't exactly broadcasting the change. You can understand why. Loosening up rules on drug and alcohol use is not necessarily something they want to get a whole lot of attention for. And for that reason, you might not hear about this otherwise. Okay, let's get to the data, and we'll start with diesel prices. The national average price of diesel fell 3.5 cents to $4.247 a gallon during the week ended March 13th. Diesel prices have now fallen nearly 38 cents in the past 6 weeks, and they are exactly, well, okay, like 3/100 of a cent above, but exactly, for all practical purposes, $1 lower than they were a year ago. Now, just a reminder in case you forgot, this week last year was the second week in a historic 2-week $1.15 surge in diesel prices. In the latest week, prices were down in all regions except for the West Coast, where they moved up only very slightly. One notable milestone is that the average price of diesel in the Gulf Coast region has now dipped below $4 a gallon. That's the first time that's happened since the end of February last year, which of course was right before the big surge. In the near term, at least, there doesn't seem to be any reason to expect prices to rise significantly. Crude prices are still very stable, around $75 to $80 a barrel, and the supply of distillate also is stable and in some areas is continuing to go up. Okay, let's move on and talk about the spot market for truck freight during the week ended March 10th, which is week 10 of the year. A week after posting their strongest gains of the year, broker posted dry van and refrigerated spot rates in the truck stop system fell by about the same amount that they had during the previous week. Meanwhile, the flatbed segment recorded its largest single-week drop in rates since August. Spot load activity declined following the prior week's jump that had been driven mostly by flatbed. Most of the volume weakness occurred in the van segments, which in the latest week saw their lowest spot load volumes since June of 2020, with the exception of Thanksgiving week last year. Let's dig a little deeper. We'll start with rates. The total broker posted spot market rate declined just over 5 cents. Total rates were about 20% below the same week last year, but more than 2% above the five-year average. FTR estimates that the rates, excluding a calculated fuel surcharge, were about 21% below the same 2022 week. I will probably stop pointing that out because we're getting to the point now where the difference between the rates last year and those excluding fuel surcharge are getting pretty much to be about the same. Dry van spot rates decreased about 5 cents, slightly exceeding the gain of just under 4 cents in the previous week. Rates were almost 27% below the same week last year, and nearly 8% below the five-year average for the week. Refrigerated spot rates declined about 4 cents, which was the same scope as the increase in the previous week. Those rates were about 25% below the same 2022 week, and nearly 6% below the five-year average. And flatbed spot rates fell nearly 8 cents, which, as I noted earlier, was the largest weekly decline since August. Rates were about 19% below the same week last year, but still about 5% above the five-year average for the week. Okay, let's look at volume. Spot load activity fell in total more than 5% after surging nearly 17% during the prior week. Volume was almost 57% below the same week last year and about 30% below the five-year average. Loads were up in the southeast and south central regions, but were down fairly sharply elsewhere. Dry van loads decreased nearly 11%. Volume was almost 56% below the same week last year, about 34% below the five-year average. Loads were down in all regions, although the declines were milder in both the southeast and the south central regions than they were elsewhere. Refrigerated loads fell 11%. Volume was about 59% below the same week last year and nearly 36% below the five-year average. Those are very similar, obviously, to what we see in dry van. Load activity was up in the southeast, but down in all other regions, although the decrease in south central was much smaller than other regions. Flatbed loads dipped more than 1% after surging more than 27% in the prior week. Volume was nearly 60% below the same week last year and more than 31% below the five-year average. Those are a little different than what we see in the van segments, but in largely the same range. Load activity was up in the southeast and south central regions, but down elsewhere. Let's wrap up the weekly data with a couple of other sets of indicators. First, mortgage rates, which climbed again in the latest week. The average rate on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage rose to 6.73%. That is the highest since the week ended November 10th. Freddie Mac attributed rising rates to signals from the Federal Reserve that it will continue an aggressive monetary policy. Next week, we'll be talking about inflation at the producer and consumer levels, and that consumer inflation in particular is a target of that aggressive monetary policy. So it'll give us some indication as to whether the Federal Reserve might just hold steady with its increases or might actually become even more aggressive than it has been. Okay, the other set of weekly data is unemployment benefits. They have been mostly stable recently, despite headlines about mass layoffs in certain sectors, but the latest week saw large increases in both first-time and continued claims for benefits. Initial claims jumped by 21,000, seasonally adjusted to 211,000. That's the highest since right before the holidays, although it is still pretty low based on the numbers that we had seen before the pandemic. Of course, the labor pool is also smaller than it was before the pandemic, so I'm not sure that we can connect those two so directly. Continued claims for benefits jumped by 69,000 to 1.7 million seasonally adjusted. That is the largest increase in a single week since November of 2021, and the highest level since we saw the same level back in mid-December. However, it's a little deceiving because before mid-December, you'd have to go all the way back to January of last year to find a larger number of continued claims. And in fact, in general, they weren't even close until you get back that far. And that brings us to the monthly indicators, which also are all about the labor market. We'll start with a look at job openings in January. They declined 3.6% to 10.8 million seasonally adjusted. However, the Bureau of Labor Statistics revised data back to January 2018 due to some annual updates, resulting in an increase in the initial December estimate by 222,000. So in other words, that 3.6% decline was off a significantly higher number than what we thought it was when we first talked about job openings in December. Following the revision, March 2022 remains the peak of job openings, although the figure is higher at just over 12 million. Job openings in January were down 5.8% year-over-year, but they were still 54.7% higher than they were in February of 2020. Job quits in January fell 5.1% to 3.9 million. That is the lowest level since May of 2021. Quits remain more than 11% higher than they were in February of 2020, down from a peak of nearly 29% in April of 2022. Okay, let's move on to the employment situation report for February, also known as the jobs report. The economy did not match the seasonally adjusted job growth that we had seen in January, but the 311,000 jobs added in February represented a solid gain and was the strongest increase since October, with the exception of the 502,000 jobs added in January. That is a revised figure downward. It was initially 517,000. Payroll employment is now just under 3 million jobs, or 2% above the pre-pandemic month of February of 2020, although it still lags the growth trend in place prior to the pandemic. The unemployment rate ticked up to 3.6% from January's 3.4%, which had been the lowest in more than 50 years. The unemployment level increased by 242,000, but one factor was the labor participation rate, which edged up to 62.5%. Although that rate still trails the February 2020 rate significantly, it is the highest since March of 2020. Leisure and hospitality post the strongest growth, adding 105,000 jobs seasonally adjusted. That sector, of course, was hit hardest by the pandemic, but it has also frequently been the sector with the strongest gains month over month. Leisure and hospitality remains the sector furthest from full recovery, but the deficit is down to 410,000 jobs versus February 2020, As recently as August, the deficit was over a million. Only three sectors, information, manufacturing, and financial services, saw a month-over-month decline in jobs. Information saw the largest drop by far at 25,000. The largest share of that sector's decline was in motion picture and sound recording industries, but jobs were down in all categories. The 38,000 job increase in trade, transportation, and utilities came in retail and wholesale trade, as transportation and warehousing employment fell by 21,500. And we'll wrap up the podcast by digging into that a little. Before we get to trucking, which of course is the one we're most focused on, let's mention a couple of other freight-related categories, starting with warehousing and storage, which saw employment fall by 5,500, and also couriers and messengers, or what we call parcel and local delivery, which had 2,900 jobs. Now, employment in both sectors fairly clearly appears to have peaked in the current cycle, but they are far above pre-pandemic levels. Parcel and local delivery jobs are 236,500 jobs, or 27.3% above February 2020, while warehousing and storage jobs are 612,000 jobs, or 46.5% higher. Warehousing and storage is by far the U.S. industry with the greatest growth in jobs since the beginning of the pandemic, both in percentage terms and in absolute numbers of jobs added. Parcel and local delivery, by the way, now ranks third in percentage growth and fifth in the total number of jobs added. And that brings us to trucking, which saw some solid growth during the pandemic, and especially after smaller carriers started exiting the market in large numbers a little less than a year ago. However, payroll employment in trucking might have peaked in this cycle. For higher trucking employment, jobs fell by 8,500 seasonally adjusted in February, and that followed a downward revision of the preliminary estimate of job levels in January by 6,300 jobs, which saw January still with a very small increase, or a relatively small increase, but much smaller than the one that it had originally posted. Now, even with the revision, January remains the record month for seasonally adjusted payroll jobs in trucking. As of February, payroll employment is 80,300 jobs, or 5.3% above the pre-pandemic month of February 2020. The initial January estimate had been 95,100 jobs ahead. The 8,500 job drop is the largest since April of 2020, and it's only the fourth month-over-month decrease of any size in the 34 months since the contraction. Conditions had appeared ripe for at least one major drop in employment, given that the industry has steadily absorbed driver capacity from those failing carriers, even as freight volumes have weakened. We'll, of course, be watching very carefully to see where it goes from here. We certainly could see some recovery, but we're unlikely to get back to even January levels. We have more granular data on trucking, but unfortunately, it goes only through January, so it does not reflect the big drop we saw in February. But through January, local general freight remains the sector with the greatest employment growth since the beginning of the pandemic, with 41,700 jobs, or 15.5% growth relative to February 2020. Truckload is next in total job growth at 35,600 jobs, followed by LTL at 17,200. Now, while truckload's growth is more than double that in LTL, don't forget that truckload is much bigger than LTL. And when we look at the percentage change during that time, they're very close. Truckload is up 6.8%, while LTL is up 6.6%. At the other end of the spectrum are local and long-distance specialized, which are down 3.2% and 2.2% respectively. Okay, let's wrap up the podcast by recapping some key takeaways. Diesel prices continued to fall in the latest week. Spot rates in the van segments gave back the gains that they had realized in the previous week. Mortgage rates have risen nearly two-thirds of a point in 5 weeks. Unemployment benefits rose sharply in both initial and continued claims for benefits. Job openings in January eased from upwardly revised figures. Payroll employment in trucking fell by the most in a month since April of 2020. Next week, we will have a bunch of important economic indicators to discuss, including industrial production and manufacturing output, retail sales, inventories, residential construction, and, as I pointed out earlier, inflation at the consumer and producer levels. Plus, we'll review diesel prices and spot rates and volume as usual. That's it for FTR's Trucking Market Update, episode 204 for the week of March 13th, 2023. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and we hope you'll join us next time.
That's it for this week's Trucking Market Update on the State of Freight podcast. You can find more publicly available State of Freight content and download the PDF and PowerPoint of today's presentation by going to www.ftrintel.com/podcast. FTR is the leader in freight transportation forecasting in North America, providing consistently reliable reports for trucking, rail, and intermodal transportation, as well as providing demand analysis for commercial vehicle and rail car. For more information about the work of FTR, visit www.ftrintel.com or call us at 888-988-1699 to find out which publications will best support your business.